still going under redesign.
2015, that's on part two.
I should have an MOC out here probably later this week. I think we have enough details on where that's going now to come back to FCOM and try to coordinate that one due to its proximity to the ladder. Should be pretty minimal, similar to the soil nails that we had to do to shore up the roadway. That was very minor from an impact perspective. Small equipment, relatively small holes are done a little deep there. I think we're talking 18-inch holes and then a bulk pour, so there's no major big drill equipment to do Pier 22, essentially, because they couldn't get the big equipment to that area. It just was too restricted. So otherwise, big picture, they're done with all the other drill shafts and groundwork. Essentially, right now, they're shifting to getting set up for mining the transport channel, which is one of the MOCs. They want to start mining the transport channel here shortly. Essentially, the MOC outlines what big picture they're coming in with. So they're going to come in and core drill, I think like 4-foot-long holes, and then essentially break out those blocks, and they have some piece of equipment that I'm not too familiar with, but then to break them out. And essentially, right now, all that work they're going to do at night, which is what we agreed to. They do the heavy jackhammering type. It sounds like this work should be less significant than a jackhammer from the way Darko's team has described the work. That it's kind of like a jackhammer, but they thought it should be less noisy, less impactful than just a straight jackhammer, but they got to break up that area of the concrete.
They're going to drill the holes.
Yes, they're going to core drill.
Core drill around so you kind of got a cookie cutter, and then they're going to try to take out that chunk.
Yeah, it's just they break out those blocks.
Break out that block of concrete.
Yeah, and then it's just
But what about all the rebar that's in there?
It all will come with that, so that's kind of the breaking it. Break up process that they're going to core drill, and they got to go in and then break out those pieces. So it's like when we did the excavation for the prototype weirs, that was all diamond saw and whatnot. So they would break that night, was taking out full pieces of concrete. These guys are going to essentially core drill and then break up those pieces instead. So it'll be more demolition and not so much fine precision concrete cutting. So a little different methods. Essentially, it comes down to the fact they have a lot more material to remove than we did.
They're just going to be doing this starting at 6 p.m. at night.
Yeah, so right now they're going to start doing everything at 6 p.m. to 6 a.m. The core drilling, they may come back and ask to do during the day. Core drilling, I don't think the core drilling is 4-inch core drilling. That's going to be no different than anything else going out on the project and anything else. So, unless people have any objections or insights or want to know more about the core drilling. The core drilling's a pretty minor component that they were asking if they could do during the day. But the actual heavy concrete removal they'll do at night, the bronc, what they were describing as a bronc, or not bronc, but I forget what's in the MOC, but...
Use a
lot of bronc. Yeah, no, I just forget what the name was. Yeah, I realize it's remembering the wrong thing, but yeah, whatever it's in the MOC is the piece of equipment that you can Google.
David, they've got all the pier holes all done. Except 22. They haven't put a concrete in them or anything.
The concrete's in them, so they still have all the above ground work to do. So some of the above ground is steel piers. Some of them are poured casings. There's I think it's kind of half and half. So if you were out of granite right now, half the casings are, or half the drill shafts that are in, all the casings that are in, half of them just literally they'll bring in a steel shaft to bolt on top, and half of them have rebar still sticking out for them to pour the upper half. No, but that's all.
And we've had some kind of monitoring of the fish ladder near where these drilling was going on.
Yeah, so Darko's team has been doing some sound and vibration equipment monitoring. Scott and I are we've seen some of the data, still trying to get more from them, get the actual data from them to actually look at ourselves. Scott's been looking at passage numbers daily. Haven't seen anything. I don't think Elizabeth has seen anything from number passage that's been of any concern.
We're going to have a monitor now up top of the ladder near where the transport channel is going to be cored up.
You're talking the pit tag?
No, noise.
Yeah.
A noise monitor.
Yeah, so the noise monitors, Garco's doing some monitoring more for the human health side. We have Anchor on board now. That's one of our MATOC holders that were just actually, so I was at the project yesterday. They're getting geared up to get all the sound vibration equipment out. It'll be a little bit before they're actually set up and fully installed for that equipment, but we are gearing to getting to that.
Okay.
It's just we're still getting through all the submittals, and we'll talk more about that at Fitterwood at the end of the month. I think Chris is the COR, and then we should have enough that Chris can give a fairly detailed presentation at Fitterwood on the details of that now that we actually have Anchor on board and getting submittals from them. We could actually talk to details of what they're proposing to do.
What's the plan with the noise data? What are we going to do with that?
Big picture, we want to see kind of what we have Anchor really scoped to do is both help us a little bit monitor on the construction side, then also the post-eval for we're putting some pit tag detectors in next winter as well to look at the post-eval temp monitoring, and then also just kind of big picture look at some of, you know, are we really having the impacts on adult passage that we're all concerned about? And, you know, can we correlate some of this heavier construction equipment to fish passage and see if it, as well as establish a baseline of granite?
Yeah.
And just see, you know, so we have something to talk to in the future when these kind
They'll have data. The baseline is meant to be just routine operations, and then anything beyond that, where you come in with a non-routine project and add to that, try to vet out if there's any adverse impact to, you know, behavioral change in terms of adults moving up the ladder.
So far we don't think we've been seeing anything big picture. I talked to Darren for a little bit yesterday, and it sounded like numbers were passing the dam well, from his perspective. So he didn't voice any concerns to me on what they've been seeing. So like they were tracking Bonneville numbers big picture from his perspective well. What else is on? The 004 just up that NOC is just updated with a couple of NOC numbers and general updates. Right now.
So we're beyond that time. You got the contractor 2 extra hours in the afternoon.
That part's done.
And we're beyond that.
Yeah,
now
we're beyond
back
that.
To 6 p.m.
Yeah.
Instead of the 4 p.m.
So there's some miscellaneous stuff that they are doing during the day, but it's no kind of what our threshold has been as noise or impact wise. If they're just setting equipment up, delivering equipment, whatever, that's no different than routine activities. Fair enough, but when they get to like removing concrete, having to jackhammer it out, kind of thing, that's the stuff we're forcing them to either do at night or ask us to come coordinate explicitly with you guys. So, like when we get to Pier 22 here, we'll re-coordinate that explicitly, just primarily due to its proximity to the ladder.
Is
that the area? It'll be much smaller scale than the other piers. Greg Hernandez is the construction COR. Walked me through conceptually while we were on site yesterday. Sounds like it'll be big picture, very similar to what they had to do for the roadway repair for the soil nails and that MLC. They got to put in some horizontal and vertical tension rods and 18-inch holes. Greg was saying yesterday when that had to go into the hillside, and he said, like, when you're standing on the other side of the ladder, you couldn't even hear the piece of equipment running. He's like, walk away 30 feet and you wouldn't know. I mean, not that you can see it there operating and pushing a bar to the hillside. He's like, you wouldn't even know that it was running. So I don't think there'll be any concerns on that, but Scott and I will get that additional MLC written up here because I think.
Were you on your Harley when you were listening?
It is actually amazing how loud just facility ops are, just relatively speaking. The ladder's, I think, for the noise measurements that Garco's been sending over, just taking an ambient dB reading, at least a granite ladder, just on average runs about 80 decibels, just background, just sitting there running, it's at about 80 to 85 dB on its own, with nothing going on.
You can filter out the background noise from around the plant or whatnot.
Yeah, so that was part of the underlying what we have Anchor on to do, is just, you know, help us. That was a third party, you know, what is the just baseline, and that's, I think, what 80 to 85 is what Garco was getting when absolutely nothing else was going on, and obviously there's a lot of other just normal O&M work that goes on as well. So otherwise that's where we're at right now. They're gearing up for the transport channel mining. That's the MLC that's here for approval. I'm happy to answer any more questions on that if there are any more. the drill shafts, this kind of, I was out yesterday, today, and today, there's kind of a lull in work overall because we're working through acceptance of the drill shafts. NARCO doesn't want to start placing anything on them in terms of the piers until we accept them. And I guess there's a little bit of a debate on how the CSL test is actually for us to formally accept them. So NARCO's working through that process of meeting our testing requirements before they start building stuff off vertically.
So do we want to see, does anybody have any issues with O10? He's jumped from 004 into 010 just to ask about the transport channel mining. You guys from the...
I don't think I have any. You're saying it's going to be 6 p.m. to 6 a.m.
Yeah, for the concrete removal, it'll be 6 p.m. to 6 a.m. Yeah. I think if we do see any impacts, it's most likely to be in the first couple of days. They're going to come in from the south, non-overflow section from the outside and start working in. My only real concern is that first 4 or 5 feet. I would be very surprised if after they get in 4 or 5, if we don't see any issues in passage in the first 4 or 5 feet, I bet we don't at all anywhere in the project, and just they're gonna work in that.
Up there at the top, we're not gonna know. We don't have the pit tank detection yet.
Yeah, we don't yet. So
all we're gonna know is if all of a sudden the fish counter starts seeing
fish move back,
fish
or
going down the ladder pass.
Or yeah, or we see just holding. We don't see that. If we see fish coming back down the over Pacific States BPAs. And counters or whatever, pit tag readers.
So it sounds to me like you're okay.
Okay, as long as we got people watching the ladder and the counts.
Great.
You talked to the fish counter that come
right there. Yeah, what was that? Yeah, so if you hear anything from the counters, if Elizabeth passes anything on, Scott and I have been watching numbers. I know there's 50 people in the region that all also equally watch numbers every day at all the projects.
Yeah,
it's going to start Monday.
They're getting close. They're setting up some of the scaffolding right now, but they're in the next week or so. I think is when they're wanting to start actually mining, but it have an exact day of Thursday or Monday, but close. Is there any concern expressed by anybody if they're core drilling, doing the 4-inch core drilling during the day? I mean, I don't have any sense that's any different than...
Should be okay.
Project
sound.
Yeah. Truck driving over the dam, but... Yeah. Okay.
Charlie, were you agreeing with Bill? Scott, I assume you're okay. Yeah, we got any other reps that have joined on the phone that want to weigh in? Okay, unless Charlie comes back, I think we're probably ready to move to the next lower granite, and then we'll be done. Charlie, no issues for you with him going ahead with the constraints?
Okay,
so it sounds like you're approved, Dave.
Great.
I'll give this chair to Elizabeth.
Okay, so the next one is lower granite 09 auxiliary water supply pump number 2, return to service test.
Okay, so I'm really granted this, you guys all know that. So basically, we just want to test pump number 2. The project would like to do it on the 27th. It should take us about 2 hours. And typically, we run in 2 pump operation, but right now, our spare, which is pump 2, is out of service. So we need to test it and bring it back online, and then that way we can have a backup. That's basically what we'd like to do.
So
these pumps, are bulkheaded separately.
Right.
They have to pull those bulkheads out and reconfigure, shut off one pump so that you can get the water to go in the right direction. So that's a big deal on this thing here. You need to do it a certain time of the day, because if those bulkheads are pulled, they're going to have to run against the clock in order to make sure it gets, if there's a problem, they can reconfigure it for 1 and 3 again.
So when we switch those bulkheads for the pumps, we're going to have to shut the pump off, the other pump off that we pull. So when we put a bulkhead in, we'll have to turn that pump off so we can operate the other pump. So basically, we're going to take the pumps out of service for about 2 hours, is what it'll essentially mean.
The pumps or just one pump?
It will be 2 pumps while we're doing the swaps. So within that 2 hours, we'll end up for a period of time with no pumps really providing any flow. But it's for 2 hours, and we want to schedule it for 1400 to 1600, which is after the majority of the fish have passed for the day. And then we want to do it during the lull, during for seasonal fish passage, so we're looking at May 27th. And if you look at Bonneville's numbers, most of the fish have probably already passed Bonneville, so if we do it coming up shortly, we'll probably hit a really nice low part in the passage season.
So the time of day seems reasonable. Anybody have any issues with this? So this will, this is kind of something that's trying to be addressed slowly over the years at the Snake River Projects, is getting some backup here so that we have the third pump available. We are always supposed to have that as a standby, and we currently don't at several projects.
Yeah, and I'd just like to have it online, like if we can test it, make sure we have it as a backup instead of waiting till later when we need it and not having it. So that's kind of our goal.
Yeah, if it works, then you're going to keep one and two going.
Yeah, so we won't swap back. But if it doesn't work, we're still asking for a window that's long enough that we can switch back. So we can still have two pump operation.
Yeah. Then this you're planning to fix the pump or whatever?
Well, we're bringing it back online because we did repair it.
Right. But if it doesn't work, then...
then we'll go back into repairing it again. And then hopefully it'll work the next time, right?
Then we'll do
you don't go there.
Yeah, then we'll get back to you. More to come.
Hopefully it works. Yeah,
I'm feeling good.
It shouldn't be a problem for 2 hours in the afternoon.
No, and you'll still have the two that were operating that you can always bring back on. You're just going to test the new third one. And I guess the only thing that wasn't clear is when you test the new third one, if it works, you're going to leave it on?
Yes.
Okay.
So we'll have pumps one and two in service, and pump three will be in standby.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's the plan, to minimize the time for the outage.
Doesn't sound like Amy has any issues. It sounds like that time frame will work.
Right.
So it sounds like you're approved. Thank you.
Before you go.
Yes, sir.
Don't run out.
You did send out this information about the gate repair on the north gate that's been broken.
Yes.
MFR.
Did you want to talk about that now?
Sure.
Yeah, I didn't. I read it, and I know you explained it well in there, but I didn't catch it. Of how it's improved now. You made the point that now we're operating it better, but I didn't see how you're operating.
Right, so I guess we're only operating one gate right now.
As usual.
We closed the other one. Well, kind of as usual, because the other one was on a chainfall hoist, and so we, for some reason, they picked a depth of 630 feet, and honestly, I'm not exactly sure why they did that. Right. But during last season, it wasn't in criteria, and I could never really nail down why it was set that way. So this year, NSE-1 failed to lower. So what we did was we used the chainfall one and balanced that. So we at least get the head differential and the depth over one gate instead of neither on both gates. So I guess the problem is that the majority of the time for the last few years, those two gates have both been out of criteria, and we don't meet the head differential on at either spot. So
yeah, we've just become accustomed to that.
Yeah, and I guess because I'm new to the project, I just wanted to kind of see if we can change that. And since the gate, there's something obstructing it from lowering, I figured it'd be a good time to kind of adjust it and hopefully get one way or the other. So we just kind of been tracking it, and the guys we're still like daily writing down the depths and making sure that it stays there. But I'm not sure how it would seem like it would have a positive impact on, you know, be better for fish passage, but I don't know, and I don't know how to track that. And I was kind of looking into trying to see if it does improve anything. But
well, if you're better on meeting the criteria at the one gate, that's what you're realizing you can do that.
Yeah.
Those two things, then you just assume that it's better for fish passage right now.
Yeah, and so I guess I was just kind of looking to run it that way for the season and see how it goes.
Yeah, I just didn't quite understand how you're doing that, but I think I got it.
And this is sort of like a quick little modification of what it actually says in the fish passage plan on operation of one gate at the North Shore.
Okay.
And this worked out really pretty good so far. I'm impressed.
It's backwards, though.
But it's backwards.
But it's the only option that we had at the time.
I mean, sometimes we'd like to use some FPOM money and get it fixed.
I would love that.
FPOM money.
Just as an update, we have a new business line manager for ENS in Walla Walla, and Joyce McDonald. And for the FY17, this is currently in that budget request. Yeah, so a couple years, but it is out there in the request. We'll see if she gets the funds. But yeah, it's teed up.
Yeah,
Right. You guys got any more questions for me?
So what about the run-in, the juvenile run at Lower Granite?
Isn't it horrible? No, I don't think so. We have about 34,000 fish today, which is about half of what Lomo had yesterday. So, yeah, we have low numbers there right now.
And your forebay, you have no fish hanging around in the forebay?
You know, for a couple of weeks, well, we had some fish jumping and stuff like that, but I have not really seen anything really major up there. But I heard other people were fishing up by the Clearwater and they see a lot of juveniles, but I'm not seeing them at Granite. So, yeah. And I haven't been there all week, but what I heard on my way here today was that we had like in the low 30s, 30,000.
Collection.
Okay.
Yeah. Transport. So that would be Tiffany's fish and ours. So.
That's pretty low, you know.
That's very low.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyways.
So thank you for that.
Thanks.
So next would be Bond 03.
Right. So there's two Bonneville MFRs that are on here simply to provide you with the opportunity to make comments should you so choose to do so. So the first one is the MFR for Cascades Island FB5-4. Any comments on that?
No comment.
Thank you. And then the other one is the AFF Chinook Mort.
No comment.
Excellent. Thank you very much. All right, moving on.
Don't let it happen again.
That's just the first one. I think we should have another 40 of them coming.
Yeah, so the carnage begins.
All right, keep it moving. I think the next thing is fish count improvements.
Yeah, it was Bob Rothheimer. I just want to give a quick update. I think back in November was one of the first FPOMs I came back to after being away from this forum for a while. I remember the FFU gave an update on the lighting improvements that they wanted permission to use at the Dallas North. Also talked about painting some of the backgrounds of the Crowder. So a little bit of work that was going to be done for fish count improvements at the Dallas North and moving towards night video. So we're on track. Basically, we're set up to start testing tomorrow, night counts at the Dalles. We're doing this in conjunction with doing day counts as well. So we've got two cameras in the count station. We've got an analog counter, and we've got a digital counter. Now, when we go through this, I saw this work, and I thought, wow, this is going to be pretty easy. It's pretty small scale, and there's not that much to it. Well, the issue is, anytime you start doing anything on the core network, right, it becomes a big deal because we're asking to put a lot of equipment on here. So this is an alternative study. At the start of the alternative study, you've got two pathways. You can go the internal network or you can go external. We've been going with the internal pathway first as the first part of our test. And before I go too far, I just want to say a lot of people have worked really hard on this, and my staff and Bob Corey's staff, improvements in the count station, improvements with the video documentation that we're doing, Patricia Madsen, Carrie Gibbons, as well as Paul Keller and others that Bob works with. So to get to this point where we're ready to test, and this is just a tease, because what we're going to do is next month we're going to show you video, night video from the Dalles, as well as day video, to show you the quality of the video we're collecting. I can go through a lot of things that were done. I don't know time-wise if we want to do that today because this is just really a setup for the video we're going to show you next month. I just wanted to put it to the group that we're ready. We're ready to start testing. We will literally have a link that we could share with you that will take you to the Dalles and let you look in there. The thing is bandwidth. The more people that start looking at that link, if it gets passed around, the bigger the problems we can have in terms of going to other count stations with our network administrators, just to be honest about this. So what we'll probably do is we'll probably look at the link at FPOM. We'll go live feed into the Dalles North, and then we'll show you the different imagery we've captured to validate it up to you. But I'll probably never share that link with you ever. Because if on our network we're using too much bandwidth, there's going to be issues in the future. And anything we do on the network, you know, there's a lot of bad people that want to do a lot of bad things to us, including hacking into our network, and there's a lot of different bad ways they can do it. So this is, we take this very seriously. There's reasons for all the security precautions in place, and we're very stringent in following them.
You're just going to test the loot fish.
You'll never even know.
So I have a question. I'll be excited to see your video. Is everything kind of, the picture you're painting is still very positive. and it was a pretty good presentation when you brought the fellow, I think it was in December or something, to the meeting. Right. It sounded really good. Do you guys still feel the same way about it? Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Nothing stumbled up in between, I guess, is all I'm asking. Yeah.
No, I mean, there's a few little hurdles along the way, expected, you know, but yeah, we're there.
Nice.
But what Kyle, the presentation that you saw, whereas he was taking basically video imagery processing through a computer to do diagnostics on fish species identification.
Right.
We see it here, at least I see it differently. I see the first stage is to capture video.
Yep.
So capture, archive, compress, then send it out on our network. So you capture the video. Basically, when you're capturing, you've got a network video recorder in there. I can kind of talk through the whole process here if you need that, Ann. You
yeah.
want to hear that?
Yeah.
Might be better to wait until next time.
Because
you have to do it all.
Yeah,
okay. If you want to wait, I can wait.
Yeah, but it's basically what I see is capture, archive, compress, then the video feed sends. We could send this video from, I think there's 5 or 6 count stations where video is a realistic possibility that we could really work towards and save a lot of money on our contract. It's all about the return on investment that we can get off this contract. So I see it a little differently than Kyle. In the future, we might go to basically you've got computers diagnosing the fish. I don't see that yet. I just see the biggest, quickest cost savings is to compress that video. Because some of the fish counters are literally watching at some of the stations less than 50% of the time there's fish that they're viewing in their imagery, right, that they're looking at. You can compress all that time out, all the dead space. Yes?
Just if I could throw a word in here edgewise.
Which way?
I'd like to have a chance, Bob have a chance to go out to the project and see that maybe on June 4th.
Sure. Come on out.
If we're going to be out there anyway for SRWG, Bob, do you know if that's in the Westrick or where are they going to have that?
It'll probably be Westrick. I don't know if anybody's reserved that yet. I haven't reserved that yet.
Yeah, these things tend to get slid to the last second. But yeah, I'd like to have a chance to look at that North Station when we get out there.
Well,
and the other thing I'll say about these counts here, Bob Wertheimer, is that I am extremely, I guess, unhappy with our winter counts over the years. We're always making decisions on, and maybe this bleeds into the next item here, but looking at these every 5-year winter counts just isn't cutting it, as far as I'm concerned. It's taking too long to build up a database. But one thing I can see with this new technology is that we can get a more frequent, or maybe even every year, get winter counts in these projects.
Oh, I see. Yeah, and I see what you're talking about, Gary, but that's outside of my scope. That's more than Greg.
Yeah.
I understand that, but it's not. I think these blend together very well.
Yeah, technology. Yeah,
I don't see us going. We're not going to have manned count stations all winter long, but if we can do this with video, and it's, you know, at that time of the year when there aren't that many fish passing, if we can do this with recognition software, automated, it seems to me that we could get that data every year, every project.
Yeah, I think we're going to be working that direction, Gary. We want to see how this is working out right now, but. I concur. The time for fish passage to reporting to the web is a little bit too long on winter counts.
Well,
it is. Well, and that, you know, every 5 years, you know, we're getting the new contract here, and when we get into that, I am frankly concerned about every 5-year winter counts, because I just, initially, our database is pretty small, and it's taken a long time to build that up. We're going to get one count every 5 years.
So, will you be able to centralize if you're going to be feeding, you're going to be compressing, so that one of the concerns I think that we talked about in one of the previous meetings is we don't generally have a lot of the outage work scheduled well, so when we have to in February or March, you know, talk about what we're going to do and decide if we can do adult counts through the winter at a project, we often don't know that there's some major maintenance that there's funding to do, and so there we are, we've already paid for a couple months to have people there when they can't do anything, they just sit and twiddle their thumbs. So I'm wondering...
Yeah, well, that having a camera do it makes a heck of a lot more sense if we can move that technology along.
Well, and that's what I was inquiring. It sounded to me like the way Bob was describing it is that, you know, you compress the video and you don't necessarily have to be on site then to be the reviewer. You could actually have maybe three or four reviewers for the whole system over the winter, and you'd just be shunting from whatever projects were in operation.
And you could feed that to any location you want where you have the World Wide Web. Yes.
So you're just going to tell me I got to do it, right?
Depends what your cost.
Keep my mouth shut, in other words.
But we're excited about this. We've made good progress. There's a lot of obstacles we went through, but I think we'll give that at the presentation because, as has been mentioned, we'll have to do that again anyways. And you don't want to listen to me anymore.
It's been good. This has been informative. I think. Thank you both.
I got that.
It's a nice breakthrough, really, for Fish Count. I mean, people are wanting more information. The cost continues to go up, and yet here we can maybe back off on some of the economics.
The return on investment from this type of work, it's all sitting there in front of us. This is going to pay for itself, and we're pretty excited about it.
Really expensive.
Well, it's extremely expensive video counting. It really is today. I'd just like to see some way of compressing it, as Bob said. I mean, just look at the fish. Count the fish going by, and that saves so much time in a 16-hour day.
And the difference between analog video quality and high-definition digital video quality is night and day.
Really?
Wow. Is that surprising? We're almost in the 21st century here, people.
You can see the basketball.
We're almost there. We're excited.
Almost in the 20th century? Is that what I heard?
Yeah, we're almost there.
No more VCR.
For 20th century.
Oh, okay.
Straight to 4K.
Still only 120 years behind.
Charlie, you got a comment?
Yeah, I remember why it's back. The first HDTVs, when they show the snakes, you can see the scales and all the fine separation, going, wow, are we going to be able to see the scales on the fish as they swim by, as they flex?
You're going to see sea lice if you live down bottom.
You're able to count the annulite.
Thank you.
Thanks, Bob.
Can I post your PowerPoint to the website, or do you want me just to hold it?
Why don't you just hold off on that?
Okay.
Till he gives his presentation.
He's only got two gigs.
He's only got 2 gigs, Sam. I don't want to give you too much air time.
When I brought the same thing up to the Walla Walla District about video online and stuff, the first thing the ladies told me was bandwidth. You're not going to do it in the Walla Walla District. So we've got an alternative method there that will be downloading straight to our servers at each and every one of the dams instead, so that we can review it right off the server instead. It's still in development too in Walla Walla, so we're on the way.
So, adult fish count, new contract?
Yeah, I brought this information up.
Thanks, Bob.
Yeah, I brought this information up a couple of months ago. This is the last year of the current contract, and we're out for another 5-year contract. I just put a chart out, you know, saying, hey, this is what we did, and what we're basically counting now, and we had the coastal biologist here review the times that we've been counting fish, make sure it's correct, and when we plan on redoing the 5-year count. You can see a couple of dams we're doing the 5-year count basically every year, but that's fine and dandy. We've done that. Those are our index dams. But, you know, the ones that are in between are the Badal, the Goose, the Ice Harbor, things like that. Those are lacking the 5-year thing that Gary's talking about. But, boy, hopefully by 2 years, something like that, maybe next year, who knows? Maybe we can switch over about every year type situation.
That's what I'm talking about, Greg. If we get into the next year, I mean, hopefully this is, you still have time to formulate the contract, the next contract, but I'm hoping that we can get to something more regular on those winter, or at least off-season counts. It doesn't have to be all winter, but certainly for those months that we're always looking at doing things on the project.
Oh, absolutely, and we do intend, I think even our friend John Dalen said, we're getting closer to 24-hour counts at every dam, which is fine, realistic what's going to go on. But I think as soon as we test the system, and see what capabilities we have and where we're lacking a little bit of infrastructure, stuff like that.
I'd say keep it flexible for the next contract.
And if
we want to change it next year. It's an option year. And every contract is with a Corps. It's an option year. We can modify it.
They're batting average
for all of them. So we can modify it to include video, as we just stated, at whatever stage. So I'm happy with it.
Okay.
So, yeah. Greg, were you able to address Ann's point of which dams are you doing what years so that we don't have the counter say they're looking at an empty race with?
Well, that's the thing.
Zero.
Well, I think his problem is mods again. What he was just ended up mods. In is that he's got to do mods once he finds out. But what I didn't get off of what he just said is this is what you're presenting to FPOM for review, and then you're going to start developing scope around this if you don't get any comments.
This is what it's scheduled.
So is this enough for FPOM to understand what we have going? Because I think when I first came up in ops, you were undertaking this for the 3-year contract, and we had a lot of feedback after that. The people didn't really understand what was in the contract, etc. You know, Gary's asking some questions, and I don't know if you have talked with the other managers as well, Gary, so that you think that your comments are comprehensive. But it would really help for Greg to start with information that everybody supports, and then, you know, if there's a need for discussion on elements of it, you know, we could have that here near term. I think you've been trying to work with Portland District to make sure that we're getting their needs incorporated into this, and we want to hear the comments like we're hearing from Gary as well. So maybe...
And I need these comments here within weeks, not months, weeks.
So how would you have a way to address what Gary's comment was, which is more regular off-season? I mean,
where does this money come from? O&M?
Yeah, it is O&M funds.
So we're short on one end, and we're just going to add more and more counting that instead of fixing the turning pin or doing, you know, some of these things we really need to do.
Yeah.
So that's where I'm trying to figure out where the balancing act is, what we're currently doing, what our desire is, what we're going to do with it. Taking away from the physical repairs that we're not going to do because of it.
Right.
I'm having trouble hearing Scott again. But
that's good.
So
yeah, it is really important that we have a decent idea of what kind of harm we may be causing out there when we're asked to do these maintenance activities outside the normal passage season. And we know we still have passage at most of these dams, at least into the October, November, March, Steelhead Passage, False Chinook Passage, and we're asked to extend the in-water work period for this or that, and you just don't have the data to really make good decisions on. So that's what I'm talking about.
Well,
and if we are able to get that information relatively inexpensively with video counts and the new technology that's coming online that the FFU is working with, then why wouldn't we do that?
And Gary, I agree with that part of it, but I think what Greg's talking about is continuing what we're currently doing and adding more bodies and more eyes and more people to accomplish.
I'm not talking about that.
Good, okay.
Personally, I'm not talking about that. If you guys are, that's fine, but I'm not talking about that. I'm just saying that I'm not happy with the with the information we have to date for those fringe periods. And what we need to be thinking about that.
Yeah. I can understand that. That's basically more frequent count.
Right, but not
well, or
bodies, like we're doing, we have to change it to something.
We need to move into the video where we can, and maybe that's the first place to try to ease into this newer technology these guys are testing would be another pilot, maybe using that technology for the fringe periods, because it sounds like their technique is fairly cost effective compared to what we are doing right now.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like, and, you know, I mean, if it's not 100% accurate during that period of the year, that's not a problem, I don't think. It's trying to get a better idea of what's going on is the key for that. So, you know, it's not the same as our 16-hour main season counts that everybody relies on and looks at over and over and over again.
Yeah, there's got to be some...
worked up
harvest.
QA, QC, and these
well, I mean, it maybe could even be as simple as some of that technology that some of the researchers early on were using for video, and that is just have the camera trigger when they have movement, and that would be the only time.
Well, that's the compression.
Yeah. So.
Yeah.
And then.
That's right. And you know, the identification isn't such a big deal that time of year either, because you don't have that many species moving through. So
right.
Basically, you have steelhead and chinook. Well, it's some kind of a problem.
Mm-hmm.
That could be a problem, but I think what we're most concerned about is steelhead and chinook.
I would think you'd be mostly concerned about steelhead.
Yes, that's true. So separating those two should be the easiest of the task.
Well, we'll know more next month.
Well, after after we get your update and better understand, maybe, well, I guess I'm asking now because if we have a need for like a subgroup to work through the scope before he really starts working with contracting, I want to be proactive on that so that he doesn't start thinking that we have a plan and folks haven't totally bought in that it's adequate.
Could we set up a task group meeting after June that pop, discuss it, we'll look at the video, we'll see what we can do, what we can capture.
Yeah.
I think it'll take us a long way down the discussion path.
Okay. That works.
Sounds good, Bob.
It works with me. I'll double check and see what the schedule is for this contract in the last time.
But I don't see anything from that getting into this one.
Well, it's the off-season shoulder stuff that might.
Right, but that's sort of years, 2-3 years down the road at the soonest.
I don't see that long scale. I see basically we've got most of the technology. It's just about replacing some of the cameras, less of the DVRs.
Less DVRs.
Yeah, we've gone through, we're putting switches. If I were to went through my talk, you'd see we're putting switches in the conversations. We're putting all the technology at most locations.
Yeah. Guys, one thing to come.
Yeah, for next week. Spend a lot more time.
Yeah.
Well, I think we want to go overboard this time because there was a lot of feedback last time that people didn't think they vetted it enough once the contract went out.
The contract, right.
Yeah.
I don't want to go. Figure it out. Don't want to go overboard either. I'm thinking that this is something that we should look at what projects we have enough information for and those that we don't. And the trial work could go, it doesn't have to be every project all at once.
True.
We can prioritize what we think is most important and try it out there first.
Yeah, that's a great discussion.
Yeah, that's good points.
Okay. With that, is there any other comments on adult fish count until next meeting? We can move into the fish passage plan change forms. So the first one is Ice Harbor 006, Unit 3 efficiency range.
This whole efficiency range for the 1% for Unit 3, now it's change blade, was all developed by HTC. I can't get into anything more than that, but I sent this thing out. They gave the chart, I copied the chart over for the head and the power outlet. Unit number 3 for everybody to look at the view.
So everybody remembers that we're out with a fixed blade now, and so this is just the correction that we didn't have at the time the fish passage plan went out.
Yeah, so now they can operate the thing with and without STSs in that slot.
Okay, the next two, Lisa, are yours. I assume you're still on?
I'm still on. Can you hear me?
Yeah, talk a little louder though. Ice Harbor 007.
Yeah, so essentially both of these came out from a comparison we ran looking at the patterns.
You're really almost breaking up, so scream.
Or do you have a different headset or a phone?
Hold on, let me get on my...
Yes,
can you hear me now?
Oh yeah.
All right.
Bob either, right? There's Bob. Okay. He sounds like a Bob.
Did you say he sounded like Bob?
Don't say that badly. Just something.
Maybe I should take up smoking or something.
I gave it up.
All right. So both of these change forms essentially came about from a comparison that we did when we uploaded
looking at the patterns that the projects have in the automatic control system versus what's actually printed in the FPP. And a couple little things popped out, and they're both essentially just typos. And one of them, the Lower Granite one, looks like it has persisted since 2003, since the table was created, and nobody really noticed. So, but what's important to note is that these programs in GDACs are correct. So the operations, the spill patterns as intended were correct. It's just that the tables that were printed in the FPP had a couple typos that have popped out due to this QAQC exercise. So both of these change forms sort of memorialize those changes, just to point people in the direction of where those changes are. But obviously people aren't looking at these too closely, otherwise they probably would have noticed this change form or this edit from like 2003. So does anybody have any questions about these? So the first one is Ice Harbor essentially was just bay 3 for the row that had a total of 51 gate stops. Bay 3, actually that whole row was just a copy-paste of the row below, so if you added up all the gate stops as it exists now, you would get to 52 stops. So what it should be is bay 3 should be open 7 stops, and that was just a copy-paste error that happened when the table was reformatted back in 2012. And then the Lower Granite one was just the typo for the total spill column. So that's about it, unless folks have questions.
Anybody have any problems with those?
Someone not sleeping well?
Yeah. So I think we have those approved, Lisa, as well as the Unit 3 for Greg. We didn't ask on that, but yeah, thank you.
Okay, sounds great. Thanks.
Then 6.2 is pending FPP change forms.
Oh, we have a new one that didn't make it on yours. All right, so Cordy, you have sluice outage.
Yeah, this is the sluiceway outage for when we want to put plates over the gate wall orifices, or if we need to install temporary plates on them. The amount of time that we had allotted for them to do that was having the sluiceway out for 30 minutes, and that was an underestimation. And we have some new clearance procedures since then, and so we're looking at a worst case scenario, 2 hours when things are really going bad. But normally it's about an hour is what they need. So we're just asking for a little extension on the amount of time that we have this way out when we can do this work.
Yeah, Bob?
Yes.
I'm definitely not on board with this right now.
Okay.
That's a 400% increase in outage time.
Is there a specific time of year that that it's a no-go? Because maybe we can work around that and just forego.
What time of day is your work? Is it daylight only?
What's that?
Is this daytime only work?
Yes, it's daytime only.
Yeah, and that's when the sluiceway is most effective. So that's a definite impact on passage of the project above what we would have considered with a 30-minute outage. So we need to talk about this one, I think, a little more. Certainly don't have the justification. I mean, you know, it's basically where they see amount of workload, and that's not going to cut it. So we're going to have to talk about. This is a main passage route, so we're gonna talk about this a bit. If this happens mid season, that's a real problem.
How much time would be a maximum allowable?
I would rather, I'd rather not see that at all. Is there any way that we can get these orifices fixed?
Well, they're in the process
permanently
plating them now.
Right.
About 10 years, half. That's been a long time.
I've been doing that for my whole career, I think.
No.
And that's a long freaking time.
It's been a long time. But they're being more aggressive on getting these done now. There's some years there that they weren't getting those done.
Yeah, okay. Well, that would be, if there's a way that we could just get them done, we get this thing off the plan altogether.
Yeah, once but, they're done with them, then it's over. Take this out completely.
Well, I do want to talk to you about it, so let's put this one on the back burner for now. I mean,
okay.
Not the back burner, but I mean, just set it aside for until I get back in the region and we can sit down and talk about it. But I mean, anything more than 30 minutes was kind of the. I remember when this came up, and we were really didn't even like to see it out 30 minutes. So it's 2 hours is huge. I mean. I hate to say even an hour is longer, and I'd sure like to see that sluice way be out for this purpose. So we'd have to talk about why it needs to be this way and what the workload and what the effect is and all that.
I'll need to take a closer look at the outage schedule, too, and see when. I need to get a good handle on which ones are remaining to do the permanent plate and figure out when we can fit it
right.
In. I mean, some of these are going to land in the winter,
yeah.
So it's no big deal, but
right. You know, right.
How to do the other ones.
Okay, let's do that. This isn't an easy one, let's put it that way. It was just not, can't rubber stamp this one, so.
Okay.
Let's do a little more homework and
talk
about it. I assume that this isn't something that the project is counting on for the next couple of weeks here.
Okay, you want to talk to me?
No. Hope not. That's a good question.
Yeah.
I don't think there's one coming up here real soon.
Okay, because that's, if we're anticipating a bunch of fish coming down the river,
right.
It would be a bad time to be doing that.
Good point.
There might be, that we'd be okay with doing this during the lulls, wherever we have them, but,
okay.
In the tail end of the passage season maybe, but, anyway, let's talk about it some more. It's just not something that I'd be ready to approve right now.
Okay, and I'll come back with a little more detailed information too.
Okay, sounds good.
Okay, I think the only thing we have left is task group updates.
So, the Dalles split flow was supposed to meet after this meeting, but we have pushed that off to June.
Okay.
Gordy says it'll take 5 minutes. So you get 5 minutes for that.
5 minute meeting.
Yes, that should be a short one. Because it will be then followed by the condition monitoring task group, which is also supposed to meet after the June FPOM. And apparently, we have just developed a new task group for fish counting.
Well, we have an inactive adult count subgroup from...
We are reactivating.
Yeah, we can reactivate that one.
Good, I'm not on it.
That's been around forever.
It's been around.
Thought it was dead, didn't you?
So June might be so busy that we have to push one of these, like the adults or something. We'll have to see out to the next month. But
yours
will be done since it's only 5 minutes. Obviously, that'll be the first one.
Yeah, that'll be easy.
All right, so that's all I had.
And we don't know if condition monitoring may punt another month, whether Trevor and Tom have made any progress on that or not.
I haven't heard.
Okay.
I haven't heard. I just wondered, we got Rosanna here, and I haven't heard an update on how the whole blue leaf takeover has gone.
No news is good news. Everything is running smoothly, just like it always has, and we're doing just fine.
So yeah, I just haven't heard anything except
a weekly report.
A weekly report.
Okay.
Yeah.
Are you happy with the weekly report?
I am.
The only thing the weekly reports are missing are some pit tag tables. But I've got new people at Lower Monumental and McNary. So my biggest thing was getting them on board of how to get the weekly out in the first place. I figured the pit tech tables could wait.
Yeah.
Goose and Granite have old hats there.
Yeah.
Ruth did actually this past week decide she's going to go back to work for ODFW. So we have a semi-new person there. But that's going to work out fine because, she's a very smart gal, and I think by the end of the month she'll be doing just fine. So, yeah, no news is good news. Yeah, we have been running very smoothly, and we really haven't had any major problems.
I appreciate the reports. They're good.
Good.
Yeah.
Good.
And also the weekly reports that Elizabeth, John, your reports.
Fish facility reports, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you just got the last one Tuesday, I think it was.
Yeah.
So.
Sure.
Yeah. So with that,
it sounded like that. You know, when it was being put together, the sky was falling.
The sky was falling.
Yeah. Oh gosh!
The sky is blue and the sun is shining.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's good.
The leaves are green or blue.
They're yellow.
So, Ian.
Yes, sir.
To move us along here, or maybe not so much. We skipped over 621, which is the Powerhouse 2 Bonneville mid-range dates.
Yeah, Tammy, I guess I got the impression that there wasn't anything to do there. Sorry.
Well, there is. At least as far as I know, there still is, because we haven't agreed on the language for the change form.
Right. I was leaving that up to Lisa to lead that one.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Lisa, are you still on? Nope, she left. So, okay. Speak up again, Lisa. You're in the background. So this is Bond 006 Powerhouse 2 mid-range dates.
Yeah, so we've gone back and forth with some language to try to capture the agreement, the agreed-to operation, and Gary, I had sent another iteration of it a few days ago to you and Tom, and I'd heard back from Tom, but I hadn't heard back from you whether or not it was something you felt was acceptable, and then if so, then we can go from there and distribute it.
Okay, I've been on leave for the last 2 weeks, so I will take a look at that. I think it's important to capture that agreement that we had in FPOM or after FPOM last time.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand Scott's concern about the time it takes to do this in season. And if this was even after the season, I just want to make sure that agreement that we had, which is what broke this thing loose, is in there.
And I really, really don't think we'll get to use it much this summer, given what summer looks like it's shaping up.
I realize that, but you were pretty adamant that we have it in there. So.
No, I agree. And I think you'll like the language. You'll enjoy the language if you ever get to see it. When are you coming back?
Okay, I'm having trouble hearing you, Scott, but I kind of got the tip.
When your vacation end?
Oh, when does my vacation end?
Yeah.
Well, it ended about 6 hours ago. But,
right.
No,
start again.
Starts in about 15 minutes, but I'll be back after Memorial Day.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, Gary, while you've got the floor, I have a question about 633. Have you and Paul worked on any more on transport minimums?
633, where's that?
That's right after 632.
We don't have a 633.
I'm trying to... Sorry, I'm just trying to get back to that.
I don't have it either.
Let me see a sheet.
Anyway, that was something, John, that may or may not happen this year. I think it was a Paul Wagner. And it wasn't anything that was in a hurry. It was kind of pending whether or not NOAA would be able to get any analysis done. And so unless they get some analysis done, there won't be any action this year.
Okay.
They were pretty... Steve Smith was pretty tied up with some other reports, and so it wasn't that likely it was going to get done. But it's just out there waiting. It's kind of one of those things that's teed up if and when there's time.
We'll just carry on.
Okay. So I think that's it, unless anybody has anything else, final alibis. Thank you for calling in.
Yep. Thank you.
Appreciate everybody's input. Yeah, we'll see you next month.
Not even real vacation.
They had to call in.